This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
...of and treatment for persons convicted of sex crimes. She'll tell about the lost opportunity to educate a Southeast Portland community after the neighborhood's harsh criticism forced her to move her clinic. That's Prison Pipeline, April 29th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio continues the broadcast of the 2013 Illahi Lecture Series on Wednesday, May 8th, when we'll broadcast a talk by Jeffrey Clements.
An attorney and author, Jeffrey Clements is the co-founder of Free Speech for People, a national, nonpartisan campaign challenge, the creation of constitutional rights for corporations, overturn Citizens United versus FEC, and strengthen American democracy and self-government. Clements is the author of Corporations Are Not People.
Jeffrey Clements will be speaking at the First Congregational Church in Portland, and KBOO will broadcast the talk live at 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 8th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/Illahi2013.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, every Saturday night at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
Six, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, how do you invest in the community around you? The Mackenzie River Gathering Foundation takes contributions and then gives out grants to progressive social change groups across the state. We're spending the hour today with MRG Executive Director Sharon Gary Smith talking about their upcoming annual fundraiser, Justice Within Reach, and the giving economy that helps us keep important community services and groups strong all around Oregon. Sharon, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Sharon, we were just listening to a report from Boston, and you know, a lot of people are afraid and maybe feeling even a little hopeless right now. You come from an incredible family of healers and activists, the Gary family. What are your thoughts on Boston, and how should we right now be reaching out and embracing each other at moments like this?
I think it is a very sad moment. It is easy to be disappointed and despair, even somewhat, that an incident of this nature, the loss of lives, the harm to so many at such a joyous occasion. But I think for those of us who believe in social justice and inclusion of all of us, it is a moment that we must just renew, as hard as it might seem, renew our faith in the ability of people to build relationships, to build communities, to access the kinds of service and opportunities they need together. And it really is a coming together. It might sound Pollyanna, but my family's history as African Americans here in Oregon, and particularly in Portland, have a history of pushing back against the kinds of ills, the disrespect, the lack of inclusion, the kinds of incidents that changed communities, took land, pushed people. We organize. There are good people who organize for the common good. And this is that kind of moment to look at those organizations, those community-based groups that are mobilizing across issues, that are working on health and housing, and that are working to engage and build networks that are strong to create movements that create the kind of country, the kind of state we all deserve. And there's a joy and a zestfulness that comes from the long journey and their successes. So I think that we are right to be sad in this moment and wonder what would provoke people for whatever reasons. I don't know what was the motivation, but to want to be heard in a way that's destructive, that is sad. And that's part of our country's history. But how do we get beyond that to do the kind of work that allows us to build community? That's what my parents held out, and that's what I hold out, and that's what MRG Foundation supports, is the building of relationships, community, where people mobilize to create a better, more inclusive space for all of us to live in.
Now, the Mackenzie River Gathering. Okay, so coming up this weekend, is it April 20th?
Saturday.
Is the Justice Within Reach annual, I'm going to call it an annual banquet. It's a big event. Is it your biggest fundraiser?
It is our signature event.
Signature event. Sold out for the second year in a row. So listeners, the bad news is you can't go. But maybe you already have your tickets. But this is the thing. The Mackenzie River Gathering, it's a gathering. It's people coming together, putting resources on the table, and then sharing it out, which is, I just think that's elegant, you know? Sharon, talk a little bit about the kinds of organizations that MRG funds, and so what does it mean when people make a contribution to you, or they go to this to the signature event? You know, how are people's resources shared out? So what are the issues that you share resources around?
Well, what I would say just quickly about that sold out event is, while it's a signature event, and for us, it's actually a celebration and a reaffirmation of the work of those grantees, those community-based groups throughout Oregon that are mobilizing for justice. It is not a dinner or a sit down. It is a celebration. It is an affirmation. It is a come, meet, greet, and be a part of an ever expanding justice community. And each year, the attendees, the new ones, join the old ones, because we believe you build the tent bigger. Among the people who are there in attendance, and I'm a little reluctant because it is sold out, this is the opportunity to engage and to pay it forward for social justice.
Pay it forward.
In Oregon. So many of our grantees are in attendance, sitting and being a part of this gathering to be able to inform and to educate about the issues in their community. We fund the groups that are led by people directly affected by the issues, whether it's the injustice in housing, affordability, lack of access, whether it is healthcare that improves the standard of living for all of us, looking at the inequities in healthcare, the disparities in who gets access, the kind of care they get, how culturally informed the providers are able to have a relationship in order to improve one's health, whether it's looking at the preservation of the culture and traditions of Native Americans and passing that on from elders to young people, whether it's looking at LGBTQ inclusion, issues of access and identity and orientation. We are proud to be supporters, for instance, of the first recognized Black PFLAG chapter in the country here in Portland, Oregon.
Portland Family of Lesbian and Gay. No, say it right. I'm not saying
Portland,
it right.
Portland, it's Friends and Family of Lesbian and Gays.
Yeah, we've had PFLAG on these airwaves a couple times. I have not had enough coffee to be able to speak articulately this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Quite all right. Then we have those groups that are mobilizing around health equity, communities of color, groups that have different issues, whether it's in the Latina community or if it's in the African-American community or the Asian Pacific Islander, having an agenda, coming together, mobilizing their resources, educating their constituents, being in Salem in a very successful legislative session to be able to look very carefully at inequities, opportunities, disparities, and the identity of areas where communities can be whole, can thrive, can be informed, can access care. They've had that success of actually pushing and moving, teaching community members how to be civically engaged, to be down in Salem where our elected representatives are, accessing them, informing them, moving them to do the right thing for all of us in Oregon. If you look at that, if you look at the young Latino members of the Momentum Alliance who stand up, many undocumented young people who arrived here and have lived their entire lives in our state, who want to contribute, who want to be educated in our state, the success of the tuition equity, that you're an Oregonian, you have a right to pay in-state tuition, to be educated, to come out, and then to turn around and to give back to your community, to not be further marginalized. And that is a success that CAUSA, the state organizing, was able to mobilize and inform and engage. Then we, of course, have PICUN. We were one of those early, first, willingly risk-taking funders who saw the ability of farm workers to organize and to unite and to be informed and to look at their conditions, the situations on the fields, in the housing, the lack of. And they did it. Those are the groups we fund.
Right, right, right. How many years Mackenzie River Gathering? Because, see, the whole thing started with a bunch of people that met near the Mackenzie River. It really did. So, but anyway, how many years?
37th year.
Awesome.
37 years, nearly $500,000 we give out in funding each year. A commitment, even in the economic downturn, to be able to fund at a level that allows groups to sustain themselves, to build their infrastructure, to mobilize their communities, because they have resident knowledge. People who are affected do have the ability to know what could be different. And we trust and believe. And when we're called risky fundraisers, funders, we believe we're strategic and intentional about the risk. We see what people can do. We believe their ability to do it. We affirm their right to be in leadership and make the decisions about their community. And we put our money where our mouths are.
I love that. I like the fact that you're risky. I love that. Here, but we are opening the phone lines. Listeners, how do you invest in your community? Do you pitch in with time? Do you dole out financial contributions somewhere? What are your priorities? I know that our pals, the War Tax Resisters, got together on Monday, and they do this thing where they divert their tax money, and if I've got this right, their big issues were the 1 Million Bones campaign, which I don't know what that is exactly. They went with Bradley Manning Defense and Food Not Bombs. Listeners, what are your priorities, and what do you support? I just want to hear what you think about that, because we all pay taxes. You know, even people that are undocumented pay taxes. It's like, how do we tax ourselves in our own personal way so that we can invest and make our money walk? I know that I made a contribution to KBOO during the most recent membership drive because I think that's strategic too.
Absolutely.
And it's risky for us at my house because we're having financial difficulties. But it's like, I think it is kind of important to still continue, if you can, to support other, you know, institutions, because I don't actually expect, no offense, I don't expect the government to put my tax money everywhere that I think it should go. And I bet everyone from every political point of view could probably honestly say that. But listeners, give us a call. How do you invest in your community? 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Joanne, you rock. What's going on, Joanne?
Well, Lisa, you know, my daughter, single parent daughter, and her biracial children, I haven't recovered from all the evil forces in the past years, like loss of income and health and a broken down family thing and domestic violence. I would have liked these agencies that are going to meet this weekend that they would have by now helped my daughter, her children, and I. We are alone in the world, to at least have one home and live in it and work on being a family. But I have something else to say in the meantime.
Okay.
I notice these shootings and bombings and horrors go on in this country, and here's what I believe. Maybe simplistic to people, but here's what I believe. I believe if our government and our people would really, honestly stop doing war in the world, I think some of this horror would stop. Also, I have one more thing to say.
Yes, ma'am.
I want your opinion. You don't have to respond. You know, I wrote something down. I sense, from what I pick up daily, that at least in Oregon, there will be no longer will be protests, marches against wars and cuts, etc., for the poor, etc., because of the elite peoples who have been moving to Oregon. And you don't have to respond. And other forces. It's not funny to me, but I guess I'm self-conscious. Does this sound mentally ill to anybody?
I think that's completely fascinating. And thanks. Joanne put three important things on the table there. What I hear Joanne saying is there any way that community investments can actually just help a simple family live in a simple family house and have their family life together? Like, what level can people's lives be touched by that? You know, I have to say, Joanne, the past couple of years as a journalist, it just seems to me on the local level and on the national level that when it comes to government, specifically government, helping people or bailing people out, the people that are it just seems like there's some people that are consistently left out, always left out. And I don't expect that to change, because I think that's part of the measure of what societies do. And I'm horrified to say that. And I want someone to convince me I'm wrong. Putting that out, the everyday people just do not get the boost that the rich people get. I that's just what it looks like. And the other thing that Joanne's talking about, stop war. You know, whoever did this in Boston, what strikes me about it is that I just have this deep sense that somebody did that to them. Maybe. And I don't know that. When we look at who's responsible for being a homicidal maniac like that, there's been a bit of discussion right now about how that last weekend, maybe before the Boston massacre, the United States had a drone attack where we killed 30 people at a wedding. And that's a machine that creates more. That's what terrorism is. And terrorism is a machine that creates more terrorism. And my biggest concern about homicidal maniacs doing stuff like that in Boston is that when we look at what we consider to be the Taliban or the terrorist threat that's coming from other parts of the country, to me, those groups look like they look like religious fundamental groups, religious fundamentalism, and they play off of the religious fundamental movements in this country that also perpetrate violence. And so what I'm saying is, what strikes me is how I'm going to say warmongers and fearmongers in our own society that need the war in the Middle East to empower themselves. So we see homicidal maniacs here who are probably not really empowered people, but they have to be a part of that system with the people who are empowered. To me, that's a big emotional hairball in my head, and I don't know what to do with it. And Joanne, I'm fascinated by the third thing you brought up, which is demographic changes in Oregon. How is that going to impact our progressive, what we consider to be our progressive community? I know that there are some people who don't feel like they benefit from what people say is a progressive community, but I think that the demographic changes are fascinating, and I think that more affluent people are definitely coming here, and I think that there are people who are coming here, though, Joanne, because they're progressive, and they think it's a progressive place, and so they're coming here and going, here I am. I'm here with my people. And if we don't figure out a way to wrap our arms around those new people that are coming, it won't matter what their political views are. Guys, so Joanne put like a whole smorgasbord on the table. And I think that, and by the way, people, we're talking about investing in our community. And, you know, how do you invest in your community? Do you pitch in with time? Do you dole out financial contributions? Or do you do something else? And the number 503-231-8187. We have another caller. Let's take the other caller really quick. Marlene, what's your take on that?
Hey, good morning, Lisa, and good morning, Sharon. I just wanted to mention that many years ago in Portland, I worked in police accountability, and Mackenzie River Gathering was one of the only organizations that would offer us some funding. We were kind of a brand new organization, but it wasn't so much that we were new, but that what we were doing. And it's very hard when you're dealing with subject matter that's really edgy to find any kind of funding. And I was just so deeply appreciative that Mackenzie River Gathering saw the value, and you've continued to do that. And I just wanted to give you a shout out, Sharon, and the organization.
Thank you.
Because you know, there are many issues of justice that are important. And if you're, say, let's say you're working on hunger or domestic violence, those are important issues. But it's much easier to get funding for them because it's not so risky for the funder. But your organization seems like consistently willing to take a look at things that are risky for the funder and say, let's go there, because you know the depths of social justice that exist on the edges. And I just, I have a big shout out to you. And I just wanted to thank you and the organization and Anita and everybody who's involved.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And the Magical Engineering Pixie brought in a note. We had talked earlier because we're talking about the we're live in the studio right now with Sharon Gary Smith. She's the executive director of the Mackenzie River Gathering Foundation. For almost 40 years now, a grant funding organization that doles out cash around the state for, I want to say, progressive social change organizations. I think that's really where what we're talking about. And we had mentioned a little bit earlier that our pals, the War Tax Resisters, on Monday got together with their reader direction event, and one of the things that they're funding was the 1 Million Bones Project. It's a large-scale social arts program that educates about the war atrocities around the globe. So that's where the War Tax Resisters are investing their money. And callers, like, where are you investing your money? I think that, you know, it's not just rich people that make investments, and we need to look at what we're doing with our resources because it impacts us, even if you think it doesn't. I think it does. So if you have some juicy way that you're investing in your community, 503-231-8187. And Sharon Gary Smith, so Joanne, as usual, fingers on the pulse, she put three important things on the table. And number one, it was, you know, broken down family. Is there any institution, organization that actually drills down into helping people in public housing actually be stabilized in a standalone building or some kind of housing where they could get their family together? She also brought up the need to stop the war as a way to deal with domestic security. That's kind of, I think, what I hear Joanne saying, which basic. And she also talked about the demographic changes coming to the state. I know you want to address some of that. That's a lot on the table.
I think the first thing is that there are groups, given in MRG's history, of actually believing in and affirming the ability of communities, people who are most impacted by injustice, housing, health care, what food they're able to access. People talk a lot about locally grown and sourced foods mm-hmm. now. There is a cost to be able to eat well. And if you look at communities that are poor, communities, predominantly communities of color, low-income people, where the stores are, where their access is, where the best food is, mm-hmm. where the service is, and where the costs can be borne by the community, you'll find that there are urban and rural deserts.
Yeah.
And so dealing with these inequities and disparities that keep communities from being whole. When I look at groups like CAT, the Community Alliance of Tenants, where you have people who have been or are renters who want quality, affordable apartments, housing that is not substandard, that has good access and opportunity for where you eat, transportation equity. That's the kinds of mobilization of people who may have been or are marginalized, but who come together and who use their innate ability to figure out what needs to happen. Where do we need to educate, to mobilize, to move our elected officials to see us, to respond to us, to give us access? They also do training on your rights and your responsibilities. They deal with landlord and tenant mm-hmm, issues. Mm-hmm. And that is a strong reaffirming opportunity for people to speak up, to address the issues, to not feel that they will be harmed or silenced by the fact that they have a less economic access and opportunity. Then we have Project Reeconomy. We have a group that began to look at the foreclosures that you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. The group's based out of Eugene in Southern Oregon, or in mid Willamette Valley. But they looked at the foreclosures, the loss of housing, what it does and how it impacts neighborhoods
I'd never
and
heard
communities.
Of them before. I thought I'd heard of everybody.
They're a wonderful group that took on educating and allowing people to know what are your rights. You talked about the institutions, the banks, the banking industry that was bailed out but did not turn around and have that same level of thoughtfulness and in fact was putting people out of their homes, oftentimes in some very dubious circumstances and paperwork, and it continues to go on. So they have mobilized and are informing and mobilizing people to be able to deal with, to push back, to demand accountability and the rights of those who are being evicted from homes. Foreclosures and what it does to neighborhoods, what it does to the standard
families,
of living, what it does to families and children, displacement. And so those are the kinds of groups when I heard the thankfulness. We believe that social justice and the right of all of us in Oregon to be included as the state changes, as the demographics have already changed. For those who are talking about 2015, it's already here. And so how do those communities of color, how does that leadership, that cultural informing, that knowing about what has happened, what can be different, why we should be included, how does that inform people and allow them to come together and to create a more zestful vision for all of us? And everyone in the state benefits.
Right. We are live in the studio with Sharon Gary Smith of the Mackenzie River Gathering. We're talking about their upcoming signature event, Justice Within Reach, and it is sold out. I know, we're like, oh, next year, bigger venue. I'm just saying.
That's what we keep saying.
But we have the question out there, people. How do you invest in your own community? How do you do that? You know, for myself personally, we make a contribution to KBOO, and I'm big on Kickstarter and Indiegogo and stuff like that. Our pal, Chloe Udalley, who runs Reading Frenzy, right? She somehow, boom, 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 lost her entire business, lost her storefront. The place she was going to move to fell through. She just did a gigantic fundraiser, $50,000 on Kickstarter, and she got it. And that's what I'm talking about. Personally, I'm big on people I know that do things I can put my hands on, and that's what I support. And we have a couple callers. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Brian on the phone. Brian, who do you invest in your local community?
Yeah, hi, good morning. Interesting conversation. You know what? I'm at the low end, I mean the extreme low end of the poverty scale, right? So I don't really have much of a choice of investments. So you know what I do? I disinvest, okay? Like the money I have, I think about what I'm doing with it. I think very carefully. You know, and, you know, it's generalistic as I'm a vegetarian. I'm not supporting the meat industry on any level. I'm not going to shop. I am absolutely under no circumstances going to shop at Walmart. And, you know, in fact, the last year, you know, it's like I'm not even going in that to Walmart with somebody who wants to shop there. You know, and you know, I've always kind of been like this, but, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, it's become more extreme because society has gotten more extreme. And what my whole point of this is I really think as I become more like this and I talk to people about it, I always hear, well, I have to take care of my family. I work at the bank, I foreclose on people, but I have to take care of my family. And you know, the bottom line goes, until
it's you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. We've seen the right wing throw money at an election and it didn't work, right? I don't think the money has anything to do with it. I think it's our spirit. And, you know, as much as I appreciate funding and all that, you know, it's not going to be money that wins this horrible war we're in, you know, against poverty and you know, diseducation and all that. It's going to be our spirit.
Thanks a lot for calling, Brian.
Okay, bye.
I think it's true about the spirit thing, but I got to put this out. Money matters. It does. You can't eat air. The breatharians cheated. they ate at McDonald's. You remember the breatharians? I'm putting that out. And I think that Brian's super cool analysis about disinvesting is really interesting. It's like where not to invest your money. Although I have to say, I probably would be a Walmart rubbernecker. If you went to Walmart, I might go with you just to scope it out because I don't go there. I'm not sure where it's located. I'm just saying. I know a lot of other people do. Yeah, but Brian, but I do want to put this out. Like, we don't have a lot of money at my house either, but there's something that comes with scraping some money aside and putting it where it can grow or matter. I think that actually, Brian, I think that has something to do with the spirit. And I think that even in my house, my husband's a real cheapskate. I mean, a real cheapskate. Probably because he spent so many years as a street performer doling out coins at the grocery store. But even he secretly invests in things and he doesn't tell me. You know, and it's about, you know, artist friends doing this. Another thing that my husband will do is, you know, another way to invest in the community. When artists that we know are passing through, they can stay at our house. Do you know what I'm saying? But there's something about scraping a little money aside. $5 a month. Okay, it there's something about it. It does something to you. And I think this thing of strategic investments, it creates opportunity for people that feed the spirit. I'm being weird about that, but I'm saying it. Let's go to the other caller. We had another caller on the air. Tomas. Yeah. Tomas, what do you think? What's going on? Do you invest in community groups?
I mean, I suppose so. I guess, you know, if you look at what investment means, I mean,
give him some money.
It would be that you could that you would be returned more money than you put in if you did so wisely. So no, not really. My partner did after she won a settlement in a small settlement in a labor dispute with her employer, with the help of the IWW, she donated $200 of that to invested a short-term loan to the Red and Black Cafe to help them purchase the building that they're in.
How juicy is that? So I'm guessing that there was not a bank contract on that.
No, there wasn't.
That's juicy.
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, it's tough for them, but the nice thing is that, you know, people that invested money in it, you know, gave short-term loans most people have been very lenient on when the repayment happens. So it's helped facilitate, you know, their ability to actually purchase a building that they would otherwise have no chance ever to be able to get and continue to, you know, have a worker-owned collective in operation.
What I also like about what you said, Brian, is that
Tomas. Go ahead, go ahead.
People particularly invest in what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that your partner chose to make that contribution, every one of us has an opportunity. If we believe in justice, we invest our time.
Mm-hmm.
We join groups. If we believe in social justice for all, we give the treasure, whether it is $10 a month. I mean, MRG has monthly investors. We call them sustainers. When young people say, I can give you $10 a month, then you are an investor. And the long-term gain is a zestful, joyful, striving, sustainable Oregon for all of us. So
yeah.
You've given a marvelous example, whether it's 200 or 2,000, depending on our circumstances. It's putting your money where you believe.
That's
and it
awesome,
has
Tomas.
A long-term gain. May not be what the banks are giving you, but if you've looked at the interest rates, I think community justice has a much higher return.
Sure, indeed. I agree. And that's why I'm also a member of the IWW myself and
wonderful.
Volunteer probably about 15 or 20 hours a month to organizing.
And that's the other investment,
yeah.
Is volunteering time, because time is money.
Money. Tomas, thanks so much for calling. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You know, my friend Robin Shanti, a longtime KBOO producer, one of my favorite music programmers in the history of humanity, she says that money is energy. And I think that's really interesting because I don't want to freak people out. I mean, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is KBOO Community Radio. We don't sit around counting stacks of cash or talking about, like, you know, the stock market, although we do in our way. But I think that it does matter when we look at what our resources are as individuals and then what our goals are as a community and a society. And if you're listening to Wednesday Talk Radio, you probably care Just guessing. You probably care. If you didn't, you'd be watching CNN. That's rude. I don't mean to be rude, but you know, people plug in to make a change, and I think that that's why looking at where you can even put small amounts of money when people pool it together, it makes a big difference. And I know that we have another caller. The number to call 503-231-8187. Casey, what's going on?
Good morning, everyone. It's Sean and Lisa. And well, I want a little bit share with you a little bit about one of my experience with working with MSG Foundation. And number two, as a, you know, someone who leads a small grassroots organization who get funded from MSG. So first of all, I want to say, you know, you're absolutely right. I think money and time, time is money. And I think, you know, we also associate with money with, you know, rich people. Also, if you and the foundations, but particularly in the philanthropic world, we just assume that that's just for the rich people. And the reality is that I've been involved in MRC almost now 9 years. And, you know, I'm not someone who came from a wealth background. I volunteer my time. I give small amount of donation. And that small amount of donation, the investment of time, goes a long way. What I like about MRT is that in MRT, it's giving an opportunity to be able to get involved. Not only can you give money, a small amount of money that can go a long way funding for social justice, but also you can be part of the decision-making process, who's going to be funded and how that money is going to be distributed.
Thank you for bringing that up. I think that's the coolest part of all. We put all the cash on the table, and then we figure out who we're going to share it with. That's just, I don't know who else does that. I don't, actually.
And in fact, many times that sets us apart. Thank you so much, Casey, because it allows the people who are doing the work, who have had experience in the work at the grassroots ground level, who know what needs to happen, to be able to make the decisions about the distribution of money. And money in power in America is a major dynamic. So the ability to make good decisions about where the money goes, and that goes back to the origins of MRG Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey is being modest,
yeah,
because he really has built this incredibly informed, mobilized constituency of immigrants and refugees to speak up and advocate and join with others to build the Oregon that we want to see. And that builds power.
Thanks a lot. Thanks again for calling. Thanks again for calling. I have to take a moment and say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, we hear Mark Brenner, Director of Labor Notes, speaking on new directions for labor at the Portland Troublemaker Schools this past weekend. We love the Portland Troublemaker School. At 9:15, we hear an excerpt from Economic Update with host economist Richard Wolf, who interviews journalist and activist Chris Hedges on the deepening social crisis, divisions, and turmoil building in our society. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on The Food Show, yay, Andrew Gunther of Animal Welfare Approved talks about grass-fed beef, chickens, and genetically engineered salmon. Author Sarah Matheny talks about her new cookbook, More Peas, Thank You. And Catherine Dumling from Cook With What You Have talks about beans. Dude, I'm telling you, we have been eating weeds from the yard the past several weeks, and they're delicious. Some of them are things that we planted that got away from us. Some of them are dandelion greens. I'm just going to tell everyone wherever I go, eat weeds from the yard. It's fabulous. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and we're live today in Studio 2 with the Mackenzie River Gathering Executive Director, Sharon Gary Smith. We're talking about their upcoming annual fundraiser, their signature event, Justice Within Reach. It is sold out. It is sold out for the second year in a row. Listeners, I mean, I'm bringing that out. I kind of keep hammering that because that's me saying, good job, people. You know what you're doing. And I'm talking about you, listeners. I'm talking about you, everyone gathering around this table, putting some resources down. The phone lines are open. We're basically saying, listeners, how do you invest in your community? Because that's what we're talking about today. And but And by investment, I'm not saying put money in and get ding, 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 quarters out or anything like that. I'm saying you put money in to create the community that you want to see. And that is its own investment. So this is a kind of a complicated conversation. I feel like Brian brought this up a little bit. He was talking about, well, you know, money, I don't know, I can't invest money, but I've got these other concepts around it. And so when we're talking about Mackenzie River Gathering, though, we're talking about taking cash money and translating it into a better state, like what you get back out of that is golden eggs. It's being able to walk down the street, seeing people that you know that are getting served, that are getting what they need and what they deserve from society, and also knowing that some of these really I'm going to say nascent social change organizations and projects that get some of this early cash money, cash on the barrel money from Mackenzie River Gathering, blossom into incredible social movements of their own. Marlene called up and she talked about the police accountability movement. Casey Gentleman just talking about the Immigrant and Refugee Community Center of Oregon, IRCO, talking about people with baby movements, right, that get the resources they need to change our state for the better. And especially with police accountability, we've seen that in a big way. Definitely with IRCO. Yes.
I just wanted to mention that Casey is the Center for Intercultural Organizing.
Thank you.
CIO. So, and IRCO, though, also serves. Mm-hmm. But he and others brought that organization, built it to an organization that's actually a model.
It absolutely is a model. And these are organizations that change our city and our state right now as we're watching. Anyway, so what do you invest in, listeners? That's what we're asking. Maybe you have some juicy, cool investment that you want to share with people, like Super Cool Tomas did with his wife fronting $200 to the Red and Black Cafe so they could buy their building. That's kind of what I'm talking about. I mean, because in the end, it's us. It's us together. Anyway, listeners, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We have Crystal on the line. Crystal, do you invest in different organizations or your time or money?
Good morning. Yeah, I do. I'm excited about the show this morning. I'm excited to be an MRG supporter, but the reason I'm an MRG supporter is much more important than my small monthly donation. I was a leader with an organization that was funded by MRG, and we were called Portland Schools Alliance. And I just wanted to encourage folks to think about not just the investment as a donation, but an investment in organizations that don't have the same amount of access and don't have the same amount of community in order to reach out to, that MRG is supporting people who don't have the same kind of leverage power that large organizations do. And the amount of impact that has on people's lives isn't just about the dollars. It's about how that work changes their life. So, in my situation, Portland Schools Alliance was a very small grassroots organization working with low-income parents. I was a parent in public education feeling pretty lost as a, high school dropout. And my organizing with Portland Schools Alliance led to going back to school and becoming a leader in community and then going on to now working at Portland State University and raising money for scholarships for students. So when I give money
Fabulous.
To MRG every month, I'm thinking about how that, concentric impact has affected thousands of people in my life in my, kind of small monthly contribution. It's not about the amount that you give, it's that you give and what you believe in.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Crystal, thanks for calling. And I know that we have another caller, but I want to bring this up, and this is a weird thing to say. Now, money is weird. But this is the United States, and money is weird. And Joanne, our first caller, she kind of touched on this, the sense that if more affluent people come, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And something I learned at KBOO about 10 years ago is that there's kind of a lot of little millionaires around here. And I know that sounds weird. There's kind of, there's a significant number of people that have received legacies from their family, for example, but they themselves are bedrock progressive people. And they feel uncomfortable about this sense of what this privilege affords them. And I know for a fact there's many people who do not have to have a job in the state of Oregon, but they personally do not agree with that. So they create careers for themselves, and they invest their money in progressive organizations. And I know that sounds weird, and I'm being weird about money, but I have to put this on the table. There's a lot of progressive people of means in this town and around this state, and that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. I mean, can you talk about that a little bit, Sharon? I mean, because
well,
we feel uncomfortable
talking
about money.
Is when you're talking about values and a sense of justice, that it's not necessarily just because you don't have as much as you need or want. There are progressives or people of progressive mindset who believe things should be different, that change is possible and necessary. Mm-hmm. MRG Foundation's history has been people who came into
that's how it started.
Inherited
Talk about the
wealth.
Start. Talk
Leslie
about the start.
Brocklebank, she and others were activists for peace in Eugene, Oregon, who gathered around
the
Mackenzie River. That's why this odd name. Some people talk about that. That's an odd name.
It is an odd name.
The history is they gathered together with friends, people of means, and people who didn't, to make decisions about this inherited wealth that was a contribution to begin to support peace movement, mm-hmm. anti-war, back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of this foundation. And so the idea that a person of inherited wealth or a person who has made their wealth could not have a social justice mindset, how do they find community? MRG provides community for people with values, whatever their circumstances, to be able to pay it forward, mm-hmm. to create the kind of Oregon that is more reflective of all of us. And so we have opportunities for donor-advised giving, people who want us, who do the vetting, who know the groups, who understand the issues because we've been informed by the people, who want to put their money there but don't know how to do it or don't have the time to do it. They trust that we will do that, and they will have their money going to social justice.
That's completely fascinating. That's I sometimes I like having the opportunity to flip a worry upside down, you know what I'm saying? And there, I'm just going to say it, there's really cool rich people out there that support social change, and I have to say this
too. And they
too.
Can come to MRG if they have a social justice mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see change that's good for all of us. We manage donor advised funds. We're not known as well. There are large foundations that do that, but we actually are relationship building. We are supportive of your idea of justice being achievable in Oregon.
Awesome. And that's Sharon Gary Smith, Mackenzie River Gathering. That's what we're talking about this morning, is how do you share your resources with the people around you to make the world a better place? And just, you know, just because this is one thing that I've had my eye on for a long time, you know, the animal rights movement, it's really not my issue, but a couple of my very dearest and oldest friends, we're right in the thick of that. I have to say, the animal rights movement is one of the most organized movements in the history of the United States. They know how to bring in resources. They have incredible victories. And if the animal rights movement ran the anti-war movement, we probably wouldn't even be at war right now. It's fascinating when you just look differently at the people around you and what they're doing. Turn it over in your mind and think about it, because it can give you ideas for what you do. And we have a couple of callers. Let's go to those phone lines. We've got, excuse me, Harriet?
Yeah.
Yay, Harriet, what's going on?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So I totally hear what you're talking about is a local organization that gives to the local community, which is great. But
statewide. It's actually statewide, but go ahead.
Oh, statewide.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I just tapped in lately, but the motivation by people to give back to the community has been longstanding. People of wealth and means have always thought about what they can do to share, and there's a slow money movement. There's many, many movements, so I got to give a shout out to say that people really do recognize, many people do recognize, if they've been given certain gifts, that they should turn them, give them back and distribute. Not everybody, but certainly there are lots and lots of people. But I also wanted to say, as far as time is money is energy, is that really, in my mind, all money comes from the soil. Really, at one point, it was mined out of the soil. You know, it was, whether it was gold or it was minerals or it was, you know, land itself. And so when people have money, they can understand that they really are, in fact, holding on to very, very precious fossil fuels or resources that never really belong to them. I mean, yes, they've done something with it, but on some really bigger consciousness, It all came from the soil. And so for me and for many of people who work to return it to the soil in some ways, in terms of repairing the earth and repairing tilth, and so it's sort of like a reverse laundering of money, you know. It's like we took it out of the soil and we can now return it back into it to bring the, you know, the land back to tilth, the waters back to health, you know, the environment that's been, you know, everywhere around us. It's telling us you've taken the energy away, or you've attempted to, and we're sick. And so all these things, whether they're social justice because people are hurting and sick, they're all happening together because we pulled it out. We pulled it out of communities.
Harriet, you're mulching the grassroots. You're rocking my world right now. I never thought of it that way. That's incredible.
Yeah, so well, groovy. Thank you. And so there's tons of us who are out there growing food and dealing with, you know, the returning energy back to the soil, and that's another. And it's all there. We're all in it together, and there's so many facets, and the heart is big, and it's out there, and we all see it. And so thank you for doing what you do, and
thank
I love you,
you,
Lisa. And we'll talk soon.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Uplifting.
Really uplifting, especially on a day like this. This has been a tough weekend. We're looking at we're looking at homicidal maniacs, the way that plays out across our society. So here in our state, how do we keep sane? How do we nurture each other? And as Harriet was just talking about, you know, how do we mulch our grassroots? That's amazing. All money came from the soil. I never thought of it that way. I could see that dynamic. That's completely fascinating. We do have another caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. Excuse me? Denise. We have Denise on the phone. Denise, what's going on?
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yep.
All right. I love your show, Lisa. I love the work that the McKenzie River Group is doing.
Yeah.
I hope I said that correctly. And I've been tuning in and out. So earlier I tuned in and you said, what do you do to intentionally invest your money?
Yes.
And what I do, and I hope it hasn't been brought up yet, is I use this app called Around the Way. And the Around the Way app allows me to intentionally spend my money in restaurants, businesses, beauty salons, professional services that are Black-owned. And for me, when there's that lack of community, it allows me to invest my money intentionally, and I feel like it builds wealth within my community.
That's brilliant.
So, that is wonderful.
So that's a tech app. Is it an iPhone app?
It's iPhone, Android. I don't know what the other platforms are, but yes. It's yeah.
I am very...
Yeah.
And it just launched recently, but, you know, it's just one way. It's something small, and it's not that I don't spend my money elsewhere, but it's just a way to generate wealth. And
just being clear about what that money means when you spend it around where you spend it. You know
but when
I'm
you
saying?
Talk about economic health and well-being, not only is that a health indicator for how well, how prosperous, how much the ability to thrive there is in a community, but you're also talking about ensuring the economic stability of a community.
Yeah.
And that is historical. People buy, shop, maintain the business, the economy in their community. I don't think that I can always think about doing that, and I'm always trying to figure out how to be cognizant of the businesses and the economic growth in a community. So you've given a wonderful opportunity.
Really,
and
excellent.
Around the Way, did I hear you correctly?
Around the Way?
Around the Way.
It sounds so cool.
It sounds like my neighborhood. Denise, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for having the show.
Thank you.
I like that. I like the people that just called. Actually, I like all these people who call, because as frustrated as we get, sometimes I think, you know, as Denise pointed out, and I feel as though it was Brian pointing that out, we all spend money. We just do. Because we live in a, I don't know if this is a capitalist society, actually, but we could debate that. But this is not what this show is about today. But we all spend money. So looking at how we spend it. And, you know, during the KBOO membership drive, I always say this. I think that people should look at how much you're paid in your job and think about investing 1 hour's wage per month somewhere. I just feel strongly about that. If you're unemployed, you know what? Fine. We love you and we'll carry you. But even if you make minimum wage in the state of Oregon, that's $8.95. an hour. That's $100 a year that you could be making in a contribution. And you know what? The movement you save could be your own. I'm just putting that out. So we're running out of show. We have about a minute and a half left. Sharon Gary Smith, Mackenzie River Gathering Foundation. What's the most important thing that we should know about y'all, and how do we plug in to what you do?
I would probably say in that, in the short period of time, that MRG is activating social justice forward in Oregon. That every one of us, whether you're on the front lines, whether you're involved in grassroots organizing or mobilizing in the community, if you're a volunteer and a supporter who's being intentional and deliberate about your contribution to creating a better state, a better society, if you're paying it forward by being an investor monthly, whether you're a small or a big investor, you're allowing us to activate the state that we want, that we deserve, that every one of us has the right to live in. That's the joyful, zestful, thriving, sustainable Oregon we all seek.
Can I just say, too, if you're not reaching for delirious joy, you're missing the boat. I love that you bring that in. If we don't figure that out, we're not going to make the trip to the other side of whatever we're trying to cross. Anyway, that's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Sharon Gary Smith of the MRG Foundation, paying it forward. More about them at mrgfoundation.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis and Albany. The time is 9 o'clock straight up. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, we hear Mark Brenner, Director of Labor Notes, speaking on new directions for labor at the Portland Troublemakers Schools this past weekend. At 9:15, we'll hear an excerpt from Economic Update with host economist Richard Wolf, who interviews journalist and activist Chris Hedges on the deepening social crisis, divisions, and turmoil building in our society. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on the Food Show, Andrew Gunther of Animal Welfare Approved talks about grass-fed beef, chickens, and genetically engineered salmon.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Palestine, imperialism, and the New Middle East, the Arab Spring 2 years on, a two-day conference at Portland State organized by Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, held on April 27th and 28th. Speakers include Nadia Elia, professor of gender and global studies at Antioch University, Ahmed Maher, co-founder of Egypt's revolutionary April 6th youth movement, Remy Kanazi, Palestinian-American poet and activist, Cindy Corey, parent of ISM activist Rachel Corey, and Aaron Dixon, founder of Seattle's chapter of the Black Panther Party. The conference is located in Smith Memorial Student Union and registration begins at 9 a.m. each day. Child care and food provided. More information can be found on Facebook at Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Click on Events.
KBOO Community Radio continues the broadcast of the 2013 ILHE Lecture Series on Wednesday, April 24th, when we'll broadcast a talk by Catherine Austin Fitz.
Managing member of Solari Investment Advisory Services, Catherine Austin Fitz is also a publisher of the Solari Report. She served as Assistant Secretary of Housing, Federal Housing Commissioner in the first Bush administration, and Managing Director of Wall Street firm Dillon Reed & Co., Inc. Fitz has designed and closed over 25 billion transactions and investments to date and has led portfolio investment strategy for $300 billion of financial assets and liabilities.
Catherine Austin Fitz will be speaking at the First Congregational Church in Portland, and KBOO will broadcast the talk live at 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 24th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/Illihi2013.
In these tough economic times, are you feeling like there's no way out of debt? KBOO Community Radio is sponsoring Money Smart Week Portland this Saturday, April 20th at Lloyd Center in Suite 2010. Several nonprofit organizations from the Financial Planning Association will be offering workshops to help change your economic standing. Participants will learn how to affect credit scores, deal with debts in collection, negotiate college loans, and understand your rights. Financial planners will also be available for those who need additional guidance. More information can be found at the KBOO Community Events page about the Money Smart Week Portland this Saturday, April 20th at Lloyd Center.
This past weekend, more than 200 people attended the Portland Troublemakers School to learn techniques for holding employers accountable to union workers. One of the guest speakers was Mark Brenner, director of Labor Notes magazine. Here he is speaking on new directions for labor.
What I'm here today to do is to talk to you a little bit about the tough times we're in and how we can breathe some life back into this labor movement of ours. It's not news to anyone in this room that we're 5 years into the biggest economic crisis of our lives. Employers and the politicians that they've got in their back pocket are using this economy as an opportunity to try to wipe unions off the map for good. Whether it's gutting collective bargaining rights in Wisconsin or railroading right-to-work laws in Michigan, it's clear that they won't stop until they've erased everything that we have won since the Great Depression. But as much as they preach that we're all going to have to make do with less, that there really is no alternative to the cuts and the austerity, as many times as they point their fingers at school teachers, lunch ladies, bus drivers, I know some of you bus drivers are in here today, and blame you guys for the mess that we're in, we know it's all BS. I mean, the problem with our economy is not government deficits or teacher pensions. It's the fact that whether you work in the public sector or the private sector, if you've got a union card in your pocket, then you've got a bullseye on your back. Right? The battle lines right now couldn't be any clearer. Last year, corporate America hit the lottery. I mean, I'm not talking about the mega millions, we're talking the mega trillions. $2 trillion in corporate profits. And the Wall Streeters that got us into this economic mess with their wild speculation and the liar loans, how much did they get? $20 billion in bonuses is what they took home after driving our economy off the cliff.